Hi, this is Tom from tdjacobs.com. This is the Energy is Money is Energy MP3, and it consists of the basic teachings that I've gathered from the Ascended Master Jehudi, aka Thoth and Toth, and Merlin and Saint Germain, about the links between debt, energy, money, love, opening to receive, energetic credit and debt, karma, all the stuff about the flow of the energy of life, including love. I taught this class twice to people on the phone, as I will continue to do, but I put the intro in the calls. And so what you're going to hear today is four segments. The first two are the intro from each of those courses, the first week of the teaching, and also explaining certain things about affirmation process and some spiritual principles and how to work with parts of us, and this will come in play during the Energy is Money is Energy course. And then the second two files are the second week of each course. So basically, you're going to hear two approaches to working with debt, and then you're going to hear two approaches to working with opening to the energy of receiving. I've done it this way because any particular way that I approach any of these topics is going to be one thing, but these two courses covered a bunch of different angles that in part were shaped and inspired and made more wonderful by the questions that the students asked. So I collected these four segments here. What is not included that did take place in each of these courses, what's not included is the recording of the conversations about those students' charts. But at different points during these introductory segments, I reference people's charts a little bit and their journeys and, oh, I know you have Pluto in Virgo, and oh, I know you have Pluto in Libra, and that kind of thing. The other thing that's not included here are the affirmations that are part of the course. Many times I reference these two documents, and they're basically three or four page PDFs that go with the course, and they contain instructions and introductory notes about the affirmation process, and then actually contain the affirmations themselves that are central to the course for drawing forth parts of you that don't agree that you deserve love and that you're free to be abundant or whatever. But basically dealing with issues of responsibility and our karma, which is beliefs about energetic credit and debt and being closed to receive versus being open to receive. And it has to do with our general, and generally speaking, our has to do with our relationship with life in general. And do we feel that we belong here? Can we participate? Are we willing to be here fully? So I hope you enjoy this MP3. And you have the option of registering for the next Energy is Money is Energy course. As of this recording, the next one starts on October 20th. You can check my calendar at tdjacobs.com for all the details. If you're hearing this MP3 later, check my calendar for the next offering. Thank you, and I hope you enjoy this MP3.
But, you know, most people think they know about their money situation. And like when you're acknowledging now that that you're unconscious, you have been unconscious about it. Most people think they're conscious about it, but the money show in their lives is actually run by another part of themselves. So it's kind of like a shadow partner who, you know, isn't always vocal, but is kind of running the books behind the scenes, and that is extremely common for many, many people. So this process has been designed by our friend Jehudi to push your buttons, frankly. And I tried to emphasize in that document, be kind to yourself, be easy on yourself, and accept that you, like everyone else, are a work in progress. And this is the process of evolution, is gaining insights and awareness through observation and compassionate observation of these different parts of us that have that are bent out of shape about something. And because we get so emotional about money, or because our emotions, say it this way, can be deeply tied into money, it's hard to see it's about love. So what you did this week, whether or not you felt successful with the affirmations or you just kind of slogged your way through, what you did is you actually opened a door to be able to look at these things with more consciousness. So the fact that you stayed with the things, did the things, and you're actually calling in today is success. And this is not to like blow smoke up anyone's rear. This is for real. This process, it pushes deep buttons. And to stay with the information, even if you don't feel successful, you know, and one of you might actually say something like, oh, man, this was the best week ever. I learned so much. I feel so successful with the affirmations, blah, blah, blah. I'm ready to get clear. And maybe there are the seven of you don't feel that way. And don't judge that either, because everybody's unique profile for what button needs to be pushed and how to deal with that, how to work with that, it takes time. And it's a different time schedule for each and all of us. So are there any other comments or questions on the process in general? Because you're going to be doing a similar process for next week, and so I want to just check in now that you've had a week of that.
Yeah, this is Catherine. That's what I was going to say, is that I couldn't do the affirmations as was, but it triggered me to think about my money issues, in particular debt, and then I had an awareness. I don't know if it was accurate, but I did get an awareness, and I noted that down.
Perfect. Perfect. Great. So the affirmations weren't necessarily for you, but they stirred something and triggered something, so you got the same effect of hearing from a part of you or seeing. So perfect. Great. I didn't even think to include that in the it never crossed my mind, but maybe the affirmations won't work, but they'll stir something for you. You know, maybe they won't feel right, but they'll trigger something in you. I mean, that's what happened for you, Wendy, too, is like, you know, the affirmations themselves weren't the thing, but you saw what you needed to see for this week.
Right.
Anyone else? Yeah. Anyone else before we kind of go into the kind of teaching part of the call, the lecture kind of thing?
Hello, it's Marcia. I'm from
yes,
sunny UK. I had different things as well. So I had that I couldn't find the printout, and then I couldn't read it, and there was a couple that was okay, and then they were kind of vying for choose me, not me. And then I forgot them, so I went away. So it's been really interesting what's been coming up. And then today I went on a workshop, and I won loads of prizes. So it was like, there's been a shift somehow, some way. So I haven't done them regularly. I've done more of trying to read them, and when I got blocked, just putting the printouts on my body, which seemed to help me to then move through it a little bit.
Right. Good. Okay, good. Yeah. And anyone else?
I have a question.
Yes.
This is Stephanie. So would you recommend, what I did was I practiced the affirmations twice a day, and I switched to the second one after a couple days, like you suggested. And then a lot was coming up for me psychically. I was just, you know, I was having memories of experiences and having realizations, and all of it was, a lot was moving, and it was pretty exciting, actually. Would you recommend just writing that stuff down? Because the part for me that was hard was processing the psychic stuff that came up. And, I mean, I suppose I could have called a friend and talked to them about it or something, but a lot was coming up. It was great.
When you say psychic stuff, do you mean kind of insight behind the scenes of a situation or a bird's eye view? What do you mean when you say psychic stuff?
Well, yeah, I would say just places where, like for me, the idea of, or the affirmation about leaking and forfeiting energy, you know, through time, psychically, I was looking at, like, how I do that, and even deeper that it was related to love, and, you know, even further, it was related to trust, and, you know, as far as, like, investing my energy or investing my money.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I just kind of journaled about it, so it was really interesting because I saw where I was overly trusting with my energy and in my relationships.
Okay.
And
so
that
Sorry, go ahead.
And that sometimes, like, I don't feel like I'm experiencing enough love in my connections with others, and that some of that is related to an over trust issue, like that I'm not having people feel that they love me. It's kind of deep stuff, but you know, and
so
the,
you're
and
seeing a bird's eye view. You're seeing a bird's eye view. You're seeing the dynamics of how it's actually working. So I now I understand the psychic note. Yeah, I get that.
And that it's related to work and the work that I service that I offer, and you know, feeling like I want people to really value and love what they're getting, you know.
Good. Thank you. Yeah. Well, so this whole thing about debt, you know, when we look at the material reality, you know, that we may have or may choose to incur, when we look at that, numbers become very important. And, you know, the numbers are actually not that important, which is why, you know, the stuff this week kind of says, you know, whatever the material, you know, one of the affirmations was basically whatever the material reality of my energy flow, my money flow is, I'm willing to see it as energy. And because we always want to decouple from these numbers. Now, in present day, you know, postmodern Western society, we focus on the numbers. And we might, you know, we focus on the numbers to the detriment of, you know, progress, to getting us into a lack of progress when it comes to the energy behind it. So that portion of the course that each of you has started to see so far, even just, I mean, Maureen wrote in, after she started reading it, and he said just the first paragraph of that document kind of started to shift something. And just that notion that money is related to energy and energy, the exchange of love and all this stuff, like that is, you know, working with that at whatever speed works best for you over the course of weeks, months, years, that is a fast track towards spiritual evolution. We're talking about money, but the energy behind money is one of the avenues, you know, to go down in order to evolve spiritually, because everything is about energy, and the name of the consciousness game on Earth right now, and all the upgrades that we're invited to go through, you know, related to this really intense changing time where things are complex energetically and emotionally, evolution is in gaining insights into why things actually happen. So seeing this link between energy and money is one of the greatest things you can do for yourself for spiritual evolution. I got so jazzed when Jehudi showed me that what the course was going to look like. Basically, you know, I'm just like doing the dishes or going off for a bike ride, and Jehudi goes, "Hey, you know what? You could do this thing." and I got so excited when I saw this, because it's principles I've been working with, but suddenly I could see a picture for how to do this course, because seeing the energy behind it is so crucial to actually doing something about it, and to, you know, ending a focus on the numbers, you know, and how that creates or destroys self-worth. So when we look in your charts, we'll be looking at indicators, different themes. I jotted down three, but I'm sure I'm going to come up with others, because I know that as I've done this work with individuals, we've looked at different things. One broad category is responsibility / obligation to others, perceptions of responsibility and obligation. And a number of you have Pluto and Virgo, and South, and two of you have South Nodes in the sixth. So there's kind of like an automatic setup for learning at the soul level about responsibility and obligation and duty. Another theme is if you have been too bold or too self-interested, and I'll explain how that relates in a minute. But then the other one is listening or absorbing the opinions, beliefs, attitudes, and judgments of others. These three things are all normal human endeavors, right? These are pathways to learning about how to be a human, to learning about what love is, where it comes from, and who's responsible for giving it to whom. But when we had this emphasis in, you know, one of these three themes in this way of being, we always experience all of the wonderful things and all of the terrible things related to that theme. So when I say, you know, responsibility or obligation to others, for those of you for whom that's a theme, you have experienced absolute self-confidence, security, groundedness, you know, belief in yourself as a wonderfully giving being through responsibility to others. And at other times, you have experienced yourself as not quite responsible enough. Now, each of those generates beliefs, but the negative ones, the pained or powerless ones, the self-judgment and self-criticizing ones, they're the ones that stick in your field as knots that are karma. So, you know, I looked at just a couple of different things in the charts. I'll just tell you, I'll give you this overview briefly. South nodes, four of you have the south node in the second house, which is typically said to be the house of money. Four of you have that. Two of you have it in the sixth, which is about learning about unequal relationships. One of you has it in the fourth, and then for Ola, I don't have a birth time, so we don't have that. But basically, four out of the seven birth times we have, four are in the second house, the house of self-worth and developing self-reliance. When we get into your charts individually, we'll explore that specifically for each of you. Then with Pluto, I didn't count the signs, actually, but there are three of you with Pluto in the 10th. One of you has it at the cusp of the 11th, but three of you with Pluto in the 10th, and that talks about, you know, just as a general footnote, that's about taking responsibility in the world for others. So this idea of taking care of others or being responsible for others, that's a huge thing that we're going to look at in individual charts. But whenever we feel an energetic credit or debt, that gets in our field with a certain emotion that is tied to a belief, and then those are wrapped around this, it's kind of, it becomes a bubble, and it kind of floats around in our field. When you do stuff like the affirmations, or actually any affirmations will bring such bubbles to the surface, but these particular ones, you know, are aimed at bringing forward parts of you that have either self-worth or I owe others or other issues. You know, I didn't follow up on my responsibility, so I'm not good enough or I don't deserve. That's the kind of stuff that I would expect to kind of, for some of you at least, to kind of peek through the curtains, you know, the backdrop of what's happening. And then that would be the kind of thing to write down in a journal. Like, oh, a part of me just seems to believe I don't deserve, you know, that kind of thing. And so, but every single human is learning about what love is and where love comes from. When we talk about money as an expression of love, again, just emphasizing, I can't emphasize strongly enough that judging the numbers and how the flow is working never works, but that's what we all tend to do. So basically, if I feel that I didn't follow, let's say that, oh, the other thing to say is that, you know, this is happening across time, as you would have noticed in at least one or two of those affirmations, the phrase across time or all of my lives or something like that. And when we have a certain opportunity to make a choice about responsibility or being self-interested or absorbing the opinions and beliefs of others, we have an opportunity to do that. We assign meaning to why that has happened, and that's what becomes wrapped up in this bubble. So essentially, you know, every single one of you and me and everybody were wrong about why things happen. I'm just going to take a generic example of somebody who has taken responsibility for, let's say, providing for a family. And this can come through many, many symbols in the chart, but let's just say this basic idea. And this could happen in any life. And the person, let's say that, didn't pay attention for a part of a day, and something happened to one of his or her family members. And the self-judgment that's going to come from that, I'm the person who was supposed to be responsible, right? My loved one got hurt. Something terrible happened. And, you know, the effects of that are not only the self-judgment, but also criticism of others that comes from, that stems out from self-judgment. It's also a hypervigilance and probably an inability to relax. So there's this whole constellation of effects, you know, this whole, like, web that gets woven from this thing about having taken responsibility and having seemed not to measure up to that responsibility. So that's one idea. Perhaps I perceive I owe you safety. If I perceive I owe anything and I'm not conscious of it, one of the amazing, though perhaps stressful, probably stressful things that happens, my life can actually come into me having monetary debt, me creating monetary debt of some kind, because I perceive that I owe you in some past life in Mongolia 1,000 years ago. That's what we're talking about here. The perception that we owe something to somebody else. And, you know, if that situation could arise for a person, this kind of sense of I owe you something because I didn't do something right for you, if that's going to arise, it's going to be seen in the chart. We can see the sense of responsibility or, you know, feeling that we failed in taking responsibility or didn't measure up. We're going to be able to see that in the chart, meaning that element is a portion of the soul's learning journey across time. So, you know, whether I feel that you owed me or I owe you, you know, or whether I should have done this for you and I didn't, or whether I'm supposed to protect you but I couldn't, or whatever, I'm waiting for you to tell me you love me in the right way or unconditionally. Whatever it is, one of the primary things to start doing, and this is reflected in at least one of those affirmations, is to say, I don't owe anyone anything, and nobody owes me anything. And that, regardless of the particular situation, you know, that is a way, and just kind of putting this in your mind for future use since you have this affirmation. Because this, you know, course opens up your process of learning about yourself. It doesn't solve anything. It opens the door for you to work with different parts of you. And, you know, even though, like, just, I know that Wendy, you said, like, you didn't actually do them and, you know, you didn't feel stuck, but that opens the door. You now have that part more present and more conscious and more paying attention. Basically, each of you now has your folders and you're both at the same table, like, ready to have a meeting. So this is all, it's all good, but to get the parts of you coming to the table and paying attention is incredibly important. So all perceptions of energetic credit and debt don't manifest as money issues. They will manifest as love issues, as family issues, but not every single one manifests as money. But there are times when the greatest teaching that life can give us is putting us in a situation where we feel maybe we weren't paying attention, but maybe we just found ourselves unable to do something different, where we do incur debt. And this is, again, a reflection of the perception of energetic credit and debt. Now, if I feel that you owe me something, I still might create debt for myself to learn as a human through that experience. It may seem counterintuitive, but if I believe somebody owes me or somebody owes somebody something, let's say it that way, then it's possible that I can incur debt. For some of you, debt that you may have or may experience at different times in life or in the past, you may very clearly see sorry, hold on one second. I'm having a part of me that wants to tell you a personal story, and I'm just editing it out, and it's really hard to, so I just need to focus here for a second. Sorry. No, actually, I should tell you. If it says wrong, I should tell you. And a few years ago, I had a certain amount of debt, and I was struggling with it emotionally. And it seemed like every time that I tried to do something about it, my income would shift in such a way that I couldn't actually address the debt. And around that time, my father actually passed away. And my father, I had a strained relationship with him the whole time. So I'll just tell you, this is confidential. Everything on the call, including what I'm telling you, is confidential. I'll just do it that way, and that'll make me feel better. That'll make the parts of me feel better. But essentially, a strained relationship, because I was always trying to get validation and acceptance from him that he couldn't offer, because for different reasons, I freaked him out. And so part of me was always waiting for him to come around and just love me unconditionally as I was. And so he passed away, and he had several situations in his life. Like, during his life, he'd never had a lot of money until the last few years. Just some inheritances had come to him. And he actually left the bulk of his estate to his wife, who was actually dying at the time, because the intention was for it to go to her brother who would survive her. And so I was crushed. I was absolutely crushed. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was a noticeable amount of money as I was getting ready, where I was already doing this work, but, you know, transitioning into being really self-reliant with it and still working for other people and hating it. So it's kind of like looking at this money that didn't come to me. And I got this sit down with my guides about the debt that I had to others was related to me waiting for my dad to love me unconditionally. The fact that his inheritance did not come to me and my sister was about me still waiting for something that I needed to release. Because that money wasn't about money for me, for this inner kid, for this two-year-old, frankly. Like, it was energy from my dad. So it was really hard, but I went through a process of not just forgiving him, but releasing the idea that he owed me anything. And in that process, I actually gained insight into a past life where we were brothers and we were far away from home in the wilderness, and he got hurt, and we both knew that for me to survive, I had to leave him for debt, basically. And that was incredibly painful. So there was this perception that I owed him something, but then this inner two-year-old was like, but you owe me love. And it was just this whole thing that really led to the beginning of the process for me of, I don't owe anyone anything, no one owes me anything. I had to do that to get over the frustration and the hurt from that inheritance thing. I had to do that for a couple of years, maybe once a week, twice a week, but like I had to keep coming back to it every time I felt angry. But it was the perception of energetic credit and debt. So, you know, the money situation in your life might, on the surface of it, have nothing to do with family. But energetically and karmically, it totally does. Does this make sense to everybody, this whole multidimensional holographic thing?
Yeah.
Is there anyone it doesn't make sense to? Let's say it that way. Anyone have any questions about what I just went through? Because this is, I mean, it's my personal story, but it's like it's indicative of a thing that's very common for humans. No? Okay, cool. So it's like I had to get to the place where I made the decision that I could make whatever money I needed and wanted. And I had to make that decision. And so my dad, in diverting this money, this inheritance, proved to be yet again an incredibly important karmic teacher for me about love, what it is, where it comes from, and who should give it to whom. So, you know, when we see a little kid who feels unloved by his father, our first thought isn't, well, that little kid has to grow up to learn how to love himself in all the ways that dad didn't. But that is the spiritual truth of that situation. So I freed myself from that perception that he owed me, and I took the responsibility for my own survival, essentially. And at that time, I was actually trying to get a job. I was actually at the end of, and now I'm kind of remembering the context a little more. I was trying to get a job, and I was at the end of the savings I had from a previous job, whatever, because the first couple of years of doing this work, my marketing stuff, my publicity, I guess, machine or something, wasn't well-oiled and organized well. And so it was a bit of a struggle, but I had to make the decision that I was gonna be fine. And then things started falling in place. And that's the next thing to talk about with this part of the conversation. When you find out what parts of you need, and you're able to start addressing this perception of energetic credit and debt, essentially, I wrote in that document, play with the image of you being a bus driver and the back of it is full of rowdy parts of you that don't know what's happening or are confused. And when you play with that image, when you have them all present, if they can see that you're qualified to drive that bus, then they will start to fall in line and start to work with you because you will be providing them something they need. Well, several things: stability, self-confidence. And sometimes in reading, some of you have heard me say something like, these parts need leadership. And what that means is they need competence. They need that you have decided that even if you don't exactly know how you're going to get there, you're going to get there and you're going to be fine. And think about, you know, when you were a kid, when you were around an adult who did not have self-confidence, and it was like being around another kid. And what separated, you know, adults who seemed to know what they were doing from adults who very obviously didn't know what they were doing? And it was just the decision that they were confident in what they were doing. That's all it is. So as I lived that, I had my son in the second house. And, you know, we're talking about second house for four of you with the Southwood. But, you know, I live with the son in the second house, and I basically have to make the decision that I'm confident in order to be confident. And I laugh about it because it seems to me to reveal one of the kind of jokes that we as the divine play on us as humans. What's the difference between this person who thinks that she deserves something and this person who thinks that she doesn't? And it comes down to making the decision that you deserve something. So when you have all those parts active, you start doing an affirmation, for example, saying, I deserve abundant flow of energy and money, whatever. Or I'm deserving of all love, you know, that is available or whatever. Then parts of you come forward to take exception. And then when you are actually deciding that you do deserve love, then you can kind of hold space for these parts that don't agree with you. And that starts the process of them calming down. So, yeah. Oh, that was a weird noise, not a person speaking. Okay. So, yeah. I'm sorry? Okay, that must be an echo or something playing a trick on me. So, That's really strange. Is everybody still here? I'm not like on Venus or something. That's totally surreal. Maybe somebody's inner kid or spirit guide is trying to get through on the line and the connection something weird.
Can you hear me, Tom?
Yeah.
I got cut off. I had to call back in, Catherine.
Okay, great. Okay. So whatever, you know, coming back to this, whatever your particular situation with money is, it is about a perception of energetic credit and debt. From the soul's perspective, every single human needs to learn through relationship. So what any of us is experiencing regarding the perceptions of energetic credit and debt, these experiences actually suit the soul's journey to a T. We all have to accept that what we're experiencing is for our highest good, even if it is incredibly difficult, painful, challenging, confusing, and makes us clueless and feel lost. It is the soul's basically mandate that you learn about love through these experiences. So if you make the decision to be loving no matter what, including doing that grounding meditation, or at least one of the aspects of that meditation, which is opening the heart, because you're choosing to open the heart, right? That whole white cord of light, I don't know if all of you have done that, but I know most of you have already had it before the course. But choosing to generate love because you're choosing to do it, not because you see your loved one or, you know, you're at your favorite sporting event or whatever, but just choosing to traffic in the energy of love more often. Probably the single greatest tool that any of us has as far as altering a relationship with money. Because if you're positive about yourself, the flow shifts. The other thing I want to talk about with this, from the soul's perspective, abundance is about energy flow and love. There are New Age teachings that some of you have probably been exposed to. I from previous conversations with Catherine, I know that she has definitely done workshops and been to classes where people are talking about stuff like this. But basically looking at the reality of money as indicative of your success as a spiritual being. From the soul's perspective, that is simply inaccurate and is a false path, not in something that's bad, but it's not true. So, you know, regardless of the numbers, whether it's debt or credit, that you actually have you know, on your accounts. The flow of energy and money is about the flow of love. So the soul is wanting you to learn about love. And there are some teachings that I've come across as far as abundant stuff where they say it is your divine right to be abundant. And that's true. We all, however, postmodern, you know, Western people, must detach the idea of success from wealth. Success as a spiritual being means owning who you are, what you came here for, and owning every single experience that you've had that has been created by your soul so that you can learn as a person. But I will say that when you're in that space, everything flows better, and then money is one result of that. So, you know, most of you being familiar with my work, when you see the mention of this class, you probably know it's not really about abundance as far as material abundance or, you know, being wealthy. But this is about getting to the source of love so that if you can, well, when you do that, then everything opens up. And I'll frankly tell you that parts of you that, oh, this is another thing to say. This is another really important thing here. You may find it advantageous at a certain point during, you know, your relationship with this material and these ideas to address any parts of you that are afraid for their survival. These probably, I mean, this would be another multi-life across time thing where people, in certain lives, we've all had the experience of not having enough resources and perhaps starving. Many, you know, if we haven't had that experience as a human, we've had that experience as an animal. We've all been animals and people, of all animals of all kinds, including people. So we have this visceral, sometimes, memory of not having enough resources. So, you know, if that resonates with you, if a part of you, if you perceive that a part of you has created debt so that you can feel behind the game and fearful of survival, right, if when you're in that kind of bird's eye view or third eye place, if you're seeing something like that, then construct some affirmations about choosing that you will survive no matter what with grace, ease, love, and compassion. Doing something like that. You can even write that one down specifically. But doing some, like addressing, like whatever fear you find there, you can address it with something, an affirmation like that. Okay, so this is about 40 minutes into the call. This is kind of where I wanted to get before we start looking at charts. So in this whole, like, soapboxy diatribe.
If there are no questions on that process, let's just jump into talking about this energy of debt. And I want to go into some detail about this before we get into each of your charts. And as I talk about this, we kind of go into me explaining the teachings that come from Ascended Master Jehudi about this. Some of you will start to see, you know, years worth of context in a new light, you know, years worth of your experience in a new framework, but then also your experience over the last few days or week working with the affirmations, you may start to see some new context about that. We touched, or I touched on this in the PDF, but the affirmations PDF with the notes and instructions and the affirmations. And essentially, this notion of creating debt is creating an energy field around us, but it's an energy field that is based in our perception of owing somebody something. So it can be counterintuitive to our brains and our human selves to say that if I have incurred debt, that I think that, you know, well, obviously it's pretty clear that you may perceive you owe somebody else, but the part that's not intuitive may be that you may actually feel somebody owes you, because it's possible to create debt as a mirror of what you think other people owe you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you say that again, actually?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. The when we have debt, it will be very easy to make a leap and say, well, perhaps, you know, to see the link between my perception, like if I have debt, it's easy to see the link between my perception that I may owe others, right? Because that's what's literally happening. I have this number, this debit number attached to my name.
you know, with this minus symbol or in parentheses, you know, if you're on a ledger or something. But what's not intuitive, but it's true, or it's not obvious, but is true, is that me incurring debt can also reflect that I perceive somebody else owes me. Because I'm creating the a reality of debt. That's the bottom line. And it either is, for the vast, I mean, the vast, vast, vast majority of us, it's either going to be, I perceive I owe somebody else something, or I perceive somebody else owes me, but probably both. Probably both. So if there's debt in your life, just open up to be willing to see that dynamic. And as we get to the specific affirmation later in this call, we'll hear from each of you specifically about, you know, how different affirmations landed for you and how you reacted. But it's they all cover kind of different ground, but they all get to the same place, which is, you know, kind of palpating a soft spot within you or pushing a hot button about owing, you know, owing. So, you know, the last one says, includes the phrase, I don't owe anyone anything. And that's kind of the end goal of this, but we also have to look at what you perceive you may owe yourself or other people or that other owe you. So there's many, many kinds of astrological signatures as we look in your charts. Maybe half of you will have one thing in common that kind of points to a perception of energetic debt. You know, emotional debt, a debt of love, or a lack of love that may seem to indicate or may seem to mean, you know, that there's not enough love. So there are going to be various astrological signatures, but one of the huge ones is Pluto in Virgo, because and I know some of you do have that signature. Generationally, it's like the birth from about 1957, 58. Up into about 1971. So if you're born in the 60s, you have it. And it's this note, it's this intense commitment to taking responsibility for something, but when over the course of many lives we do it, if we don't measure up, you know, we seem to fail, or seem to not succeed, you know, we don't always let ourselves off the hook, right? I know a couple of you, at least two of you, do have Pluto in Libra, as well. And so that is a different signature about the relationship with the other. And so there can be self-judgment of, I took too much from you in the past, or I gave too much to you. And that energetic sense of energetic credit and debt, you know, can get out of control with that. And some of you may have Pluto in Leo. I looked at all your charts, but I'm frankly blanking right now because I reread the PDF since then. And so I'm kind of in that based with Jehudi as opposed to remembering details in your charts. But if you have Pluto in Leo, which is a birth from about 1938 to about 1957 or 58, then there can be a sense of energetic credit and debt when, because you need to express yourself, you need to shine. Well, maybe nobody was listening in certain lives, and you perceive that people owe you their attention, or perhaps you kept your mouth quiet because other people's egos needed to shine, which would be part of the Pluto and Leo experience. If you guys have that, we'll get into that. But basically that sense of energy and credit and debt can be about your sense of individuality or honoring your unique voice. It can be, so just about anything in the chart can be seen in terms of love and the flow of energy. And this call today is the first part, obviously, because we have the two calls. Mm-hmm. And everything we say today, we build upon next week. So there may be some questions that I say, aha, we'll really get into that next week. But if as we go you have questions, be sure to chime in, even if you have to interrupt me, because I'm kind of a freight train sometimes when I have a long agenda on a call like this. So you know, that's just kind of some basic statements. Before we go further, are there any questions or comments about all this stuff? So far? Okay. I'm sorry? Somebody said something?
No, thanks. I just come in, so I've managed to do the reading of the notes, so I'll be listening in now. I think it sounds really good, though.
I'm sorry, your the connection for you is not very good, whoever you are. So if you could repeat that, maybe it'll be better.
Yep, it's just Renee. I've just logged in late just to say that I read all the notes, so it sounds all quite clear at the moment.
Great. Okay, great. Thank you. So, yeah.
Hi, this is Sylvia.
Hi, Sylvia.
I'm glad to be here with you guys. I just, as a professional astrologer myself, I was just curious why, or if you're going to cover why you chose particular asteroid bodies in terms of the idea of debt, money, et cetera. So I'm just hoping to explain this.
Well, I use these asteroids in my practice on a daily basis. So I haven't chosen them based on the themes we're talking about, but I've chosen them because they explain to me avenues and aspects about life that people actually live. Obviously, there are thousands of asteroids that one could include, and you know, just every astrologer should be guided intuitively or through their own research to what they do include. But for me, everything in the chart speaks to energy, and so, you know, if we're talking about the flow of energy and how that relates to love and perceptions of energetic credit and debt and owing and that kind of thing, the whole entire chart is potentially useful. And if I'm, you know, for example, I'm recently using Nessus quite a bit. Well, I don't have to. Like, it's not going to break or make anybody's money story. Perhaps it might not. But I just include it because it's speaking to me as a part of the language of life. So that's why. I certainly didn't include those because of money, which could be possible. That would be one route to go. I can't think of any offhand, but you might, you know, look at different asteroids whose names point to money, finance, debt, something like that. And I'm sure that's one route to go that would be very synchronistic and interesting. Does that answer you? Does that answer that, Sylvia?
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Great, cool. Yeah. I get that question a lot because it's kind of like, where did you get these? Well, I just got guided to include them. So, you know, and I have an astrologer colleague who says, yeah, but when are you going to stop? You know, she's very Virgo. And she wants to make sure things are useful. And I say, well, when my guides stop waking me up in the middle of the night with new insights on something, I will stop. So, okay, great. So I perceive I owe you something. It's 1300 Mongolia, or whatever, random time in the Earth timeline, random country, right, random culture, random language, you know, random DNA profile. I perceive that I owe you something or you owe me something. Now, it could be that you're my mother, and you're so distracted by the fact that you have 13 children who survived, that I'm one of these 13 children. I might be second to last. I might have come in feeling, you know, I might have grown up feeling that, you know, a lot of this will be shaped by culture and attitudes about children and parents. But basically, if I'm trying to get something from you love-wise that I cannot get from you, you become kind of, we could say, a target that I'm expecting something to receive from. Now, you're my mother. I'm focused on you. So that is one kind of example. In another example, another life, you know, let's say that it's 2200 BCE Egypt, and you're a merchant, and you and I open a business together. I end up putting in what I perceive as 70% of the effort to grow the business. And when that huge windfall comes in 5 years later, well, I take 70% of the windfall, because over time I perceive that I have invested more time and energy and resources into building it, so I deserve more. Now, you're left there saying, wait a minute, that's not fair. So that's another side of energetic credit and debt. In another life, I'm your brother, and I keep breaking bones. I'm frail. I'm fragile, and you have to take care of me. I appreciate your support. I know I'm loved, but you feel drained. And you're not getting anything out of this relationship but being drained. You know, so that is another way that energetic credit and debt happen. Now, as the brother who keeps getting broken bones and needing to be taken care of, I might perceive that you are constantly giving, and I might even idolize you for being so loving. That might lead me to feeling guilty that I've received too much because I was not able to give you equal to you equally. And then it's the other part, the other sibling, you know, just feels drained. So here you can see these different ways that energetic credit and debt can arise emotionally. Now, with the business idea in ancient Egypt, I said, you know, that's a very literal thing, because when the windfall came in, one party took 70% when the other party felt 50% was fair. Well, all of these things get embedded in our emotional space. And money has, across time, been linked to emotions, in part because, well, a huge part because if you have money, you get to survive. So now we're in this place where, you know, it's the year 2012. You know, we're like 3 months away from, you know, what is said to be the end of my calendar, though it actually ended last October, late October of 2011. But this kind of, we're in, regardless, you know, of which date you like better, we are in the middle of this vast change that has to do with understanding ourselves as divine beings. Now, what that means is energetic beings. So as I do this work, that, you know, there's like a series of arrows that lead us straight into, well, emotional beings. And, you know, we experience energy and we respond with emotion. So as we talk about anything in the manifest physical world being a creation of energy, that's step one. And then step two is to look at the emotions. So, you know, the emotions that you carry, because that is energy broadcast. You're vibrating, you're broadcasting to the universe, I owe others, or somebody owes me something. And that's where we have to get to actually work with debt, this week debt, next week opening to receive, but transforming our relationship with debt. So is all of that pretty straightforward to you, or does anybody have any thoughts or questions, even tangents related to that? Because that's, it's kind of, I'm trying to poke in a small fire to kind of shake some coals loose. Because this does touch deep places within us, this whole idea of owing somebody something or being owed, not being loved enough or having loved too much or given too much. Any comments or questions on that so far?
That sounds like me perhaps being afraid to succeed, because then somebody will want something, or I may be obligated.
Like
family.
Yeah, and
I may feel obligated to help family.
Right. So there's part of your, and that's your Sharon. That's Sharon Irene, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, cool. Thank you. And so, just for everybody else, know that I've worked with Sharon Irene quite a bit in classes and coaching and stuff like that. So I'm very familiar with her story and her chart. And she does have Pluto in Virgo. This idea of, you know, the soul thing. She's going to learn as a human through this commitment to being of service. But Pluto is also conjunct Uranus, because she's born in the mid-60s, as we'll see in the chart later. And so there's this thing about, well, but I need to be free to choose how I'm of service. I need to be able to have elbow room and freedom. And so that, you know, you, Sharon, I mean that, and then you also have that loaded seventh house that we will look at. And that attunes you to what others need and want and expect. So, yeah, and so all, I mean, I swear to you, every money issue comes down to an emotion like that, in any person. And there's all kinds of variations, which is why we kind of use the entire chart. We're not just looking at Pluto or the nodes or something karmic, or just sun, moon, rising. You know, we're looking at the entire chart potentially. And because you're an energetic being, you're an emotional being, and you carry energies across time. This is where I want to get into next with this notion of, well, you know, that was 1300s Mongolia. Or, you know, long gone, ancient history, or that was 2200 BCE Egypt. Well, the fact is that, you know, given the energetic consciousness climate that's happening on Earth, that is about the Mayan calendar, though I don't think everybody who's studying it and talking about it really sees it this way, because we're all looking at it from different angles. But what I've been shown from the Ascended Master I work with is one of the things about this is that the veils between dimensions have dissolved. And so that makes consciousness expansion a little more, maybe a little more easy, maybe a little more quick. but it also makes the partitions within our own consciousness go away. And what that means on a day-to-day basis, I mean literally every day, is that old emotions from other lives, from past lives, you know, things that are happening elsewhere on the Earth timeline that in every way but one have nothing to do with you. You know, like some wife in 1300 Mongolia, you're the 12th of 13 children, you don't feel loved the right way. You don't feel loved enough. That is affecting you now, if that's part of your story, you know, because the divisions, it's like partitions, it's like cubicle walls between parts of your consciousness as a divine being that stretches across time, those walls are gone. So before it was, well, you know, maybe you would have understood an issue you were having with love or money or receiving whatever. You may have said, well, yeah, you know, I have a, like the example Sharon Irene offered from herself, not wanting to be successful because then perhaps she would feel obligated to help others or to overhelp others is probably more appropriate, to overgive and lose too much to others. And instead of having that be a theme that was present, you know, 20 years ago it was a theme that was present. But now, because these veils are gone, the partitions within consciousness and the cubicle walls between different lives are gone, that is front and center and demands attention. And it's something that is probably a seed or a little, I get the image of like, you know, like a 6-inch diameter garden pot. And now suddenly it's like the entire backyard. And before you're like, I thought that was just a garden plant. And it actually turns out to be the entire landscape of your property. It's huge. So, and it's because all these things that are attached across time through your soul, right, that are attached to your human lives lived across time, what we would call past lives, all of those things that are unresolved are now coming to the surface. And what seemed minor 20 years ago is now major because it's a big theme. It's bigger than you thought it might have been. The other thing about this evolution of consciousness deal with the end of the Mayan calendar and all this, you know, living in interesting times thing is that the speed of manifestation increases. And if some fear that really got deeply imprinted thousands of years ago that has been echoed in different lives but really hasn't maybe been warranted since then, I mean, like a huge fear or trauma or something, that's now becoming more and more present. It's coming up to the surface. We guarantee it represents a theme that your soul says you need to deal with. So right now, some of us are looking at, you know, at any given time, people have a couple issues they're dealing with. But right now, many of us are looking at 12 or 15 things that seem out of whack. And some of us wonder if we can deal with it, if we can handle all this pressure. And the real thing to look at, and this is one of the things I want to teach alongside the actual material, is this idea of working with affirmations to change beliefs. Because the parts of us that come forward to say, I don't deserve, or I owe, or I'm afraid to give, or something, those parts of us that come forward carry beliefs, and those beliefs stretch across time, throughout your past lives and this life, throughout many lives. It's almost like when you take a class with me, you get this like paradigm stretch, and I keep pausing to say, does all that make sense? Because I realize I'm kind of observing you listening to me, and I live in this world 24/7, so I want to make sure that I'm being clear, because some of these concepts take us out of our normal way of seeing things. So let me just check in. Does that idea, this all this across time stuff and how emotions kind of bleed through and come to the surface and demand attention, do you have any questions or comments about that?
I have a question. This is Victoria.
Yeah.
I feel like I have kind of inherited a lot of attitudes about money,
mm-hmm.
that and more than that, a lot of strong emotions, fear and guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you could, you know, one of the things that I sort of struggle with is like, well, you know, how much of this is mine and how much of it
right.
is something that, you know, and I don't know. So, I mean, if you could just kind of speak to that. I feel like, you know, going back, you know, three or four generations on my mother's side, there's really themes that are pretty dysfunctional.
Well, you're doing it right. If you get to the place where you're seeing, wait, I'm not even sure this is mine, you're doing it right because we all absorb stuff that doesn't belong to us.
Mm-hmm.
When you were born, there was basically, well, different ways of saying it. The kind of nice way of saying it is there's an energetic climate already in play. And, you know, like weather comes and goes, but there's a belief climate or a philosophy climate about money and love. Other times you can be born into a little storm, you know, or a kind of extreme weather event. But you're born into this cloud that was already existing. And, of course, you're clueless and helpless and requiring help because you're a baby. So you're breathing that energy in. You're taking it in. So if you're seeing that you might be carrying things that don't belong to you, some of the things that gets into for next week's class, you haven't seen the affirmations for that yet. But that is something that is integral to this whole process. If you see something that doesn't belong to you, just make a commitment, get rid of it. Thank the people for being teachers because you, as a frankly helpless, clueless baby, you know, which is part of the divine plan. Every soul knows that the baby will be helpless and clueless and need to be trained and cared for and shaped. That's part of the plan. But then you grow up, and yes, please get rid of those attitudes and beliefs. So the first thing is to become aware that beliefs are involved. And then the second thing is when you get that nudge or that grating feeling, I don't know if this is mine. One thing, that's perfect. So one thing I do for that is, and I do this with clients on the phone all the time, and when I work with clients, most of my work's on the phone. But actually two of my Tucson clients are on the call today, which is ironic because most of my clients are all over the world. I will get in a meditative space, and that 13-minute MP3 meditation that I sent you the link for last Saturday is what I use to do this, and I encourage people to try it out and see if it works. Get into a space and hold so I'm grounded and calm and clear, and I'm not reactive and angry or stressed. And I hold the vision of that person's face in my mind or the name or the feeling, whatever, that I associate with that person. And I look at the person and I say, I recognize that you're an important teacher because I needed teachers. And our souls are in cahoots together, and thank you. But what I took from you doesn't work for me. Thanks anyway. I have to give it back. And then you make the decision to call your own shots with it. And chances are, most people, and I think this might resonate with you too, Victoria, most people have an idea of what they'd rather do, but they're so stuck in reacting to what they're carrying from other people that they can't stand and deal, and it's so unhealthy that it's like you don't even feel clear to make the decision. So as you clear it out, and I would do that every day for weeks, sitting down, that faith in the mind, thank you, you're a wonderful divine teacher, bless you, blah, 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 and this attitude does not work. You know, you do that for weeks for each thing that you pick up because you have to retrain yourself, right? It's habitual reactivity to those ingrained beliefs. But yeah, it's not yours. Perfect. Decide to be free. Get it out of your space. Please, you know, like that's part of this evolution process. And you know, it might be obvious to you that it's about money or about love or about earning power or about empowerment in general as a person or about self-confidence, but it's all the same thing. So if for any of you, you know, seeing some issue like this where you've been working with this stuff and you realize, oh, yeah, that was from a parent or a grandparent, and it's not mine, and if it doesn't serve me, I can get rid of it. But as you go through that process and look at it, be really clear that you've spent a lot of energy reacting to it, reacting to somebody else's idea, but you get to be free, you get to get rid of it, you get to be more present. We all absorb stuff from our family systems. We all absorb stuff. Like, I know that I've been thinking a lot about my dad because he passed away 5 years ago, but I've been I'm starting this radio show in a few weeks on Contact Talk Radio, and he was a radio man for his entire life. That was all he ever wanted to do. So growing up, I got asked, don't you want to grow up and be just like your dad? And I was like, of course not. So my guides said, I said it 1,000 times when I was a kid. So now my guides say, you got to get on the radio. I'm like, forget it. So, one of the things with the radio for my dad was he knew he would never prosper and thrive being a salesman at a radio station who had an on-air thing. Because he was a DJ, but most of his job was sales. And he never had money. He never prospered. He never thrived. And he felt trapped in the confines of how he did it. So I get this opportunity. My guides say, things will open up for you if you do the radio show. But I have that perception of my dad's belief about how his job made him happy in the moment, but he knew he'd never thrive. He knew it. So, I've been thinking a lot about that. But that image comes to mind of his relationship to money given his career. Well, I'm doing this thing that suits me, and it's weekly, not daily, and I'll never miss an important life event because I have to be on the radio. You know what I mean? Like, it's like up to me. I get freedom and flexibility, and it's spiritual topics. I love it. So I'm recreating it in my own way. So and some of you may find this, when it comes to money or styles of loving and nurturing that relate to money, you don't want to become the people who train you with the crap beliefs. Of course we don't want to, but we are those people. We, our souls ask them to train us and to give us models. So our job is to give back what doesn't work. So like for my dad, what I got that works is a love of speaking and sharing what I think is true, and the ability to reach people, and a strong voice, that when my heart comes out of my voice, like that's something that I got from him. And his feeling trapped by radio is not my deal. So we have to give things back, and then we might actually find ourselves doing things just like our parents, and we just have to, step back from that reactivity and being appreciative of what we have received, just kind of for next week, but the sense of, I want to get back to the sense of owing others and how important it is to accept, whatever your Pluto sign is, wherever your nodes are, whatever is happening in your chart, to accept that every person, including you, does what he or she can do given the tools at hand in any given moment. For many of us, it's easier to accept that about other people and say, oh, well, Sally, she does the best she can. But you know what? You do too. And the thing is, you always have. So with this issue about debt and how it can stretch across time, the energy of debt, we have to forgive ourselves for not doing, or perhaps not doing what we set out to do, for not getting as much or enough done that we set out to do. When you set out to become strengthened through doing, sometimes you can't do, or strengthened through accomplishment. Universal law says, then you also have to deal with the perception that you couldn't do it right or didn't do it. We'll get more specific with this stuff in your charts and working with those particular affirmations in it, and we're going to start that in a couple minutes. I just really want to explore this notion of if I have energy out to you, I have energy out. And if I'm waiting for you to give me energy, I also have energy out because I'm not functioning clearly and healthily. I'm waiting for something. So there's that sense of somebody might be owing me something else. Every single one of your relationships that seems important or is important is based on a karmic multi-life perception of energetic credit and debt. So every single relationship in your life is actually a teacher for you about money, ultimately. It's because it's about love, and you can extend the teachings into money. So just as an exercise, just in general, for the next few weeks in your, general casual, going about your business, look at all the relationships where you perceive somebody isn't doing something for you that they should be. And look at all the times that you are withholding something from somebody else or giving or overgiving but waiting for something in return. This all affects the love flow, and the energy flow, which does affect money issues. And when you find something out of whack, one possibility is this isn't my belief, and as I mentioned with Victoria's comment, give it back. But one of the other possibilities is, part of me is still waiting to be loved in the right way, either in general or in response to what I'm giving. And all that stuff can be cleaned up. When I work with clients on this stuff, sometimes we bring in energy back that's out to people, like calling back all energy. And I think one of the things in here, one of the affirmations is something about calling back energy across time that I've forfeited or lost, you know. And there's that thing where there's an image of bringing it back to your third chakra, calling it in. Sometimes it looks like a little fishing reel, and sometimes it looks like a big spool with a bunch of spaghetti strands. That's what it sometimes looks like to me as we're drawing the energy back in. But, you know, if I perceive I've done you wrong, I have a cord out to you, and I'm losing energy because I'm either hoping for forgiveness or a chance to make it right. And so there's all this stuff about the energy flow. And is all that clear before we get into the charts and the affirmations?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, perfect. Great. So let's get into the charts. The first one, I realize I'm in covering up last names, I actually...
I'd like to, again, open this week up by asking if there are any comments or questions on this process. Now that you've been through 2 weeks of this process, though it's different, you know, a different focus each week, you can kind of see more about working with affirmations and then working with parts of you that may agree or disagree. And so just wondering if there are any comments or questions on that process itself before we get into the content today.
Well, Tom, I'll comment.
Yeah.
You can hear me?
Yes.
Good. I like the reminders of being worthy. That, of course, mm-hmm. seems to be a deeply core issue with money issues. And I also really liked on number 3 and 4, reminder to be in gratitude. Mm-hmm. And I'm just realizing more and more how tied in gratitude is with affluence and abundance. And getting to the state of being grateful for that which I can't yet see. And which is very, very difficult sometimes, but great practice. So these number 3 and number 4 were fantastic reminders to me.
Great. Yeah, I'll just share with you. I got tutored over the years to everything that I was unhappy with in my family. It was through working with my guides in the beginning of that process. And every single time I said, yes, but this painful thing happened, or but this didn't work, or I was denied this, the answer from my guides was, well, are you willing to turn that, like interpret that as the teaching it was? Are you willing to see and be grateful for that teaching? And I did struggle with that just because, honestly, I wish I had a list of affirmations like this at that time, like channeled affirmations that address that. But I kind of, for me, I needed to go through kind of a solid process with my guides. And it was definitely challenging, but it taught me to, you know, whatever is stressful, you know, whatever is painful that involves other people or the dynamics, it is a lesson and a learning. And we set it up for ourselves, and that's the whole basis of everything I do is to try to help people to see that different perspective, to shift the how the energy flows in life. Yeah. So, anyone else with comments or questions about the process?
This is Catherine, and
yes.
Of course I spoke with you about what came up, but when I was going over the week 2 affirmations, number 5 and 6 were very important for me, you know,
mm-hmm.
feeling that everything that's coming for the highest good and being able to say no to the rest, that was an important part of my issue, which of course will continue. And I did, during the week, have something come up and I go, how do all my parts feel? I'm like, oh, wow. Yeah.
Great.
So that was nice.
Great. Good.
Using that again.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, these documents and these conversations are set up to to encourage us to dissociate gently and compassionately, but to detach from identifying with the emotions that we carry. And it's a great tool to take forward. I mean, that's part of the process of doing this affirmation thing that, you know, like this, you know, energy is money is energy class, and then we're throwing in the astrology stuff, but then it's really actually one of my main goals is to teach you more about doing affirmations, like the reality of it, you know, not just saying over and over again, I'm worthy, but to actually figure out how to work with the parts and understand where they're coming from that don't agree. So good. That's good. Any other comments or questions before we kind of get started on the little teaching part today? Okay. So in many ways, week one sets up week two. And in some ways, everything that you encounter that might be stressful or resistant in week two, you know, we refer back constantly to week one. So as we talk today, just understand it's more like a two-layered process, but it's one process. And when going forward, you find yourself, you know, putting the blame on yourself for something, or you catch a part of you deciding that you're not worthy, you know, or something, look at it in this two fronts. And the first one to address are kind of two levels. And the first one to address is the one from last week. Is there something I'm judging myself for? Do I not, you know, appreciate my, do I not respect my choices? Do I not feel that I've, you know, done what's, you know, all this stuff about the judgment of self and other. Because if you're judging somebody else, take it back and understand that you are judging yourself, right? So that's the first kind of step. Some of us exclusively judge ourselves, and some of us kind of put it on others and then need to take it back. And you know best which kind of person different parts of you may be inclined to be. But then this opening to receive thing, as you focus on that, you may actually, in general, I find this true for me and my clients in general when I work with them on these issues, but I find that it always takes us back to the first week as well. So sometimes when you're looking at the issues for the second week, you're looking at both weeks, you know, both kinds of issues, and there's always a need to go back and make sure that it's like always need to go back and start over if you find that judgment in there. So, but once we really focus on that, and for some of you, it may be that the second week, you know, the complex of issues, we'll find out, but like the complex of issues you may carry in your field, in your psychic consciousness that, you know, are attached to beliefs and emotions, that some of these issues in the second week's purview, you know, might not be addressable right away fully, and I may encourage you to go back to the first part of the process at the same time and kind of toggle back and forth. But we could never have started with the second week. We could never have, you know, because when you do affirmations for abundance or whatever new agey thing you might be doing, they start with the first week or the second week. But what I've learned, a huge part of what I learned from Jehudi is that energetic block of what we explored last week about perhaps judging ourselves and the door being closed. So just a note for you as you take these ideas and move forward, if you choose to work with them, please understand that dynamic is very, very, very common for, okay, great, now I'm going to work on opening to receive. And then there's like one straggler off in the back of the auditorium who won't, you know, related to the week one, judging yourself or whatever, that you may need to go back and forth and address. So that's just a kind of general note on using these things going forward. It's incredibly, I'm sorry.
Sorry, it's Delores joining.
Oh, yeah. Hi, Delores. Hi. The stuff with the second week of opening to receive, it can be very, very hairy. And in some ways, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if for one or more of you, this week was much harder or much easier, but probably much, much harder in certain ways. And because even if parts of you can say, well, you know, I can give you the benefit of the doubt and try and emphasize releasing self-judgment, you know, the receiving thing, it can be much harder. And this is because this idea of receiving things that we don't need, can't use, and were not meant for us. When I was rereading this material, this PDF this morning, I was reminded of how my ears perk up when, you know, somebody in a family is named after somebody who died.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when I'm in a reading and I say, you know, maybe the person's asking for a mediumship thing, and I say, oh, you know, okay, Mary, what was your mother's name? And she says, Mary. I'm like, oh, here we go. Because the energies that are attached to names, for an example, that does, you know, matter. Or this is something that happened sometime in the last 2 years that ended up opening a door to really go deeply into. But it was a child, a person, a, you know, an adult man who said, well, I was actually named after a child my parents lost 2 years before I was born. And that's an energy inheritance, too. So things that sometimes it's things that were not even meant for us, but kind of hold space. And so we get into political opinions and religious ideals and doctrine and dogma. We get into racism and bigotry of different kinds. We get into sexism. And all of these things can be, so to speak, masked because by being delivered as humor, and yet they're potent, energetic gifts that your family is trying to give you. So we talk about receiving, like, there are other examples, like, I really needed this when I was going into high school. Like, I needed this material thing. I needed, you know, something about my clothing, or I needed something particular, but I got something that they believed was the equivalent. I'm not talking about, like, a brand name, but, like, something, you know, like, I don't know, something. I needed to be outfit for the sport, you know, that was really important to me. And I ended up getting something similar, but that didn't really suit me. So it's also understanding that it's developing faith that even with whatever it is you may have received that didn't work best for you or you didn't want, developing some faith in the notion of these soul contracts and that everything that you receive does in fact suit your journey. And then developing gratitude because of that. Let me just ask, before we get into specific charts, which we're going to spend more time on this week than last week, because the teaching is a little shorter this week, this kind of talking portion in general, what Judy has for us to cover. So I want to spend more time on charts. But, you know, did anyone find that, like Marcus commented, that was a useful reminder. but you know, another way of looking at it or another way of asking, did anybody find that really, really challenging to look at something that you received from your family, whether it was, you know, energetic, emotional, material, philosophical, religious, that, you know, part of you really struggled with being grateful for as you looked at those affirmations? Did anybody have that happen?
Yes. This is Catherine. Matter of fact, it came up yesterday, a very strong, might have started the day before, I can't quite remember, and I've been having some health challenges, and it started when I was 2. They took my tonsils out, then I had appendicitis that was removed, and on, and I'm like, really wish they hadn't done that. There were other ways to have dealt with it, and I'm kind of felt victimized, you know, by didn't get good nutrition, I was having trouble trying to be grateful for that.
Yes. Yeah, of course, because you'll be dealing with your physical body now, of course, and you might perceive that certain things were set in motion then.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, obviously these two organs being removed, you know, removal is very specific, you know, but in so many ways, you know, your human body is incredibly resilient when you give it the chance.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can you know, focus on that, as far as, especially with immune system stuff, because do the tonsils have to do with something with the immune system? I might not really know that or understand that.
Yes,
do you know
what
the tonsils?
It,
yeah, it does.
First, it's the first filter for, you know, toxins in the body. And
right,
often,
okay.
Often, once, if the tonsils are removed, some people who will wind up losing the appendix because it can't handle everything.
Yeah. So, you know, to turn that around, because everything that upsets you, I would love for you to be able to turn around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what possible benefit would that be? Does anybody have any thoughts or ideas, given how you've been thinking about your own, you know, receiving and family stuff? Anyone have any thoughts on what I might say next? Well, the first line of defense, you know, immunologically, and is gone. And the appendix thing is, you know, vestigial. The appendix thing does not really matter, except the process of finding out that it needs to be removed can be difficult, you know, with any fever and infection or rupture or anything. But the first line of immunological defense, you know, you don't have that. Well, the family system is responding, you know, as loving souls in this conspiracy of love, this, you know, conspiracy, to take away something that you don't actually need. You're actually stronger than part of you thinks you are. And for you, as you know, we'll look at your chart again today, but Saturn, Pluto, Moon,
yes.
Like you're actually probably much more resilient than somebody tells you you are. So that's kind of how to understand that from the kind of bird's eye view. And anyway, just for food for thought, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're incredibly strong and resilient. And if you believe that you are, and that's part of that Leo, you know, karma. So it's like if that helps you, you know, see a way to have gratitude for that. So anybody else have that particular kind of thing of being difficult for being grateful for something that was received that was maybe not appreciated or is actually damaging in certain ways?
This is Wendy. Did I interrupt someone? Was someone else speaking?
No, it's okay. Well, go ahead.
I used to joke that I, as a teenager and on up, that, you know, somebody must have left me in a basket on the doorstep because I felt
right.
So unlike the rest of my family. And when I became aware of how we choose for our soul's development, how we choose our families, how I'm finding I'm still having the accepting that 100%.
Yeah, okay. Right, so I understand that. And, you know, we'll get your charts in a few moments, but like for you, you know, Pluto and Leo in the fifth, but retrograde, right? If I remember correctly, I have your chart up, but I wasn't looking at it right yet. But
that's correct.
Is that?
And
is that
the sun?
Yeah. I'm sorry.
And opposite my sun.
And opposite your sun, right? And let me just actually eyeball it so that I'm not. Yeah. So, you know, the basic journey of individuation and kind of like, you know, in the fifth house, needing to be counted as a unique individual and special. That's a huge thing with Leo in the fifth house, you know, push with Pluto and Leo and or the fifth and needing to be special. And so your soul enlisted people who couldn't show you that because a lot of part of it has to do with the retrograde where you need to reinvent a wheel. You need to invent a wheel of feeling special. So when somebody has that happen, they're either constantly treated as special in a positive way, which is disempowering, or constantly treated as special in a negative way, which is also disempowering, because it's kind of like, does that make sense to you as an idea?
It does.
Yeah, and another thing, Pluto and Leo, you're probably much more resilient than the inner kid thinks you are. Like, so it's like as you decide that you're special, and nurture, like I know we've in other conversations we've talked about the creative stuff that you do, and that's totally a part of that, just acknowledging, you know, yeah. So, yeah, yeah. But also karma, you know, past lives, beliefs that generate for what people don't embrace you doesn't mean you're not special. I gotta tell you this thing about a guy that I've worked with several times who actually took the soul healing family course, which I think you also did, to understand the purpose of family relationships. And he had Pluto retrograde in Leo in the fourth house, and so it was all about family for him. And he had a physical disability, and his family had to treat him as special, but it was all about the, you know, the logistics of supporting him in having this disability. So he didn't feel celebrated, but they constantly treated him as special because they had to. He needed special this, special that, special school. You know, it was a sight issue, and he went away to school far away. And, you know, it was like all these things about bending over backwards to do the logistics, the practicalities of it. And, you know, we talked to him, and said, well, you need to feel special. And they certainly did, but now you get to you know, make some choices about changing that. So even people who are treated special sometimes have to unwind that later. You know, with the Pluto and Leo and yeah, but the okay. So good. So why don't we get into charts and or is Stephanie actually? Stephanie wanted to say something and then we'll get into charts.
With my family, they didn't know that I was allergic to wheat as a child, and I had, you know, so I was born in an Italian family, and you know, pasta and bread was such a big deal, and I'd have these reactions as a child, and I part of my self-esteem was created around, like, seeing myself as this kind of volatile child. It wasn't until I stopped eating wheat that I realized that that a lot of what I was feeling and the emotional reactions that I was having had to do with eating wheat. But my family, it was sort of a food thing. Like, they gave me food that wasn't good for me. And
right.
There was a part of me that always kind of knew they were feeding me, you know, something that I didn't want.
So it's deleterious to health. I mean, not even just that you didn't want, but
yeah. So, when I found out that I was allergic, I didn't feel blame towards my family.
Mm-hmm.
But I think subconsciously I definitely had, there was something there about receiving from them something that wasn't good for me. You know, sort of an anger maybe or something that I...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Of course. So. And how, can I ask, like, roughly how old you were when you figured all this out and stopped eating the wheat?
It wasn't until much later in life, like 42. So...
Oh, wow.
It's been
okay.
A long time, yeah. Not that I have a severe, like a celiac type of thing
mm-hmm.
going on, but it's a sensitivity and, you know. So.
I'm actually, the last few days I've been reading a lot about this and having the lid off my mind blown, just like absolutely blown into the ethers because, and I'm seeing, you know, things about my own experience. So you know, that's totally on my mind, which is why I'm like, oh, wow. But yeah, getting the key to that. So essentially what they offered you was what they could offer you. Like that was their cultural thing. You know, that was the thing. And so it is nurturing. It's just, you know, okay, good. So let's get into charts. And why don't we just start with yours because we still have that order going.
So are there any questions now that you've been through this process for 2 weeks? This affirmation process of basically saying something that a part of you believes, but another part of you doesn't quite believe or resists or an emotion comes up. Do you have any questions about that process in general before we get specific into the issue of receiving and your chart specifically?
No questions, but a comment.
Yeah.
Thank you for just saying that about a part of you believing and a part of you not believing because this is Sue. I've been doing that dance for the whole couple of weeks doing it. I'm going, I do the affirmations and I go, what good is this doing? You know, and this conversation back and forth. So thank you for saying that.
Oh, of course. Because, you know, I work all the time. All the time I work with people who say things like, clients in one-off sessions and coaching sessions where they say, this is where I'm headed. I believe firmly that I deserve this wonderful future or whatever, but this is what keeps happening that derails me. And it's just, and at that point, after they've worked that process and really gone for it, it becomes evident. And I can say that part of you is actually a part of you. It's not you. Let's get that part on board. So it's like, it's to be fair to how we actually work because you're not avoiding self-awareness. You're not, you're not paying attention. It's that parts of you carry some belief or pain or attached to each other. Yeah, so you're welcome for that, too. It's just the normal part of the process. Like, some of us struggle through that. Most of us do, actually. When we find the thing that's got the hot button, the big giant red button on the wall next to us that part of us wants to push and panic, when we find out what that is, because every person has one of those at least, we find out what it is, we have to be easy on ourselves, because a part of us, it doesn't have tools and resources. A part of us has, like, it's a one-hit wonder. Oh, there's the universe, you know, with me and the technology. There's a part of me that says the universe doesn't want me to do my work and succeed. Look at the effect it has on people, but the universe doesn't want to let me succeed. It's garbage. And it's all my Pluto-Venus stuff, you know. It's just Pluto-Venus. So, like, I can't connect with people or something like that. So, like, all these weird tech things. And, but it's not true. So I feel that, and I listen to it, and then I come out of it. And I am somebody, just like all the people I work with, I am relatively spiritually sophisticated. I'm also human. And I have those parts of me. So that's one of the reasons why in these documents I've sent, I emphasize, please don't judge what happens. Because even by opening the PDF and starting to read it, part of you starts to pay attention that might come up. And this will serve you in any affirmation process going forward. Basically, to see yourself as run by beliefs, and certain parts of you, you know, don't get it. Don't get what you get. You know, they're not, they don't have five tools. And they have one broken record that they keep playing over and over again. And getting those parts on board is how we evolve consciousness. That's how we do it. So, good. And any other comments or questions before we get into this issue of receiving? Because I do have quite a bit to say about that before we look at charts. Okay, great. So, when I started doing this, like writing this document in August for the August course, I got to the second week and I realized, like, I was kind of sitting with Jehudi. Obviously, it's not all the way channeled, but it kind of is. Like, I'm kind of looking at how he is going to show me how to look at these issues and charts, et cetera. And I got, like, part of my mind stopped and said, wait a minute, how can everything about receiving be about how, what we did or didn't receive when we were kids or from our families or in general? And it's that incubator, which is a karmic incubator that reflects the conspiracy of love between souls, but that incubator of childhood shows us what it's okay to give and receive and what it's not okay to do and receive. And so it's like we might not grow up later and say, oh, that aunt or uncle who criticized me about whatever it was, that's affecting my money issues today. I'm 40 years old. What's the problem? But it's true. It's really true. That is how it works. You know, otherwise fully functioning adult, I have a job, I have a family, whatever, like, that is how it works. Like, if somebody, you know, if you were available for criticism, probably took some of that in. And so this kind of holographic way of looking at money issues, you know, last week, it was a lot about you. And what let me just shut a window here since we have a vocal dog neighbor. You know, last week was about you. Do you feel that you don't deserve? Are you willing to choose, you know, that you deserve wonderful things and you can withhold the judgment? And now this week we go on to more about the interrelationships between people and how this flow of energy works between people. You as an individual are always in the driver's seat of your relationship with the universe, with the greater flow, the greater fabric of life around you. And at all times, you are the only person qualified to tell the universe what you're willing to receive. And for some of you who have done different kinds of manifestation or abundance work in the past, and this, I really tried hard not to, or I tried very hard to steer myself clear of marketing this as a manifesting course, because of I'm not trademarking anything or standard marking, and I'm not like, you know, whatever. Like, it's not like... it's not like a scheme to make you, you know, think you can get rich if you take the class. It's like really looking at the energy. But some of you have done marketing things like that or have done manifesting things like that. This process is the key to it. And this is what Judy is really clear about with some of these, some of the teachings on manifestation and abundance, that many of them are actually channeled or from a channeled source. Could be like second generation, maybe a little diluted, but many of them are, you know, have wisdom in them. But if we fail to see that every individual all the time, you know, including all the kids in the back seat, the rowdy kids in the bus, every individual has the opportunity to say yes to life or no to life, essentially. So with receiving, I was reading this thing this morning, and I've been working on dad issues. I've been making peace with that because I'm about to go on this radio show, The Soul's Journey, on Contact Talk Radio starting October 4th. My dad was a radio man his whole life, and I never wanted to be like him. So a few years ago, my guides said, get on the radio, and I said, forget it. And they said, that's what you have to do. And I said, well, take a flying leap. So anyway, so now we are like 5 or 6 years later, and I'm actually doing it. So I have to make peace with this. He's coming to me in my dreams because he died a few years ago. You know, I'm like working on this. And as I read this document this morning, the first thing I thought of was, and you'll just have to pardon my language as part of the teaching here. But when I was a kid, my dad had certain things that he thought were funny that really, really offended me. And I thought were disrespectful and really offended me, like boiling. And one of them was he called Brazil nuts nigger toes. This just sent me off into orbit. So that's so minor. That is so minor. But if the person, I'm like 6 years old, and if the person that basically up to that point I thought was God has this attitude that is so destructive and so careless and insensitive, if that person that I'm looking to for leadership does that, I'm going to close down. So that, all things that my dad said or that my mom said, and same for you, that I didn't want to receive or be around, or the fact that like my sister and mom didn't get along, so there was a lot of arguing, that energy flow in the house was toxic. So I didn't want to receive. So I closed my energy field down. So as we grow up and age, obviously we become fully functioning adults in many ways, but these things linger and can affect our willingness to receive. So I just thought about that Brazil nut thing this morning, and part of me got rankled again. And I was like, oh, my gosh, that happened over 30 years ago. And he died 5 years ago. Can I let him off the hook for having some dumb bigot attitude? You know, can I let him off the hook? Because that's going to affect my relationship with life in general. And because of the complexities of family relationships, every single one of us is born to a family where something didn't work right. Like, that's the conspiracy of blood between souls. I can't give you, like, I'm going to be your parent. I can't give you what you really need. And I'm going to be your child, and I can't give you what you want your child to be like. I can't do that. And so we're always doing that. So, you know, those are some of the opening comments. Let me just check in with how Jehudi sees the arc of this call today. Yes. So at all times, we're invited to be in the moment. At all times, we're invited to realize that we are in the driver's seat of this relationship with the universe and receiving. And, you know, if, for example, I don't unprogram some of those things that my mom or dad taught me or that my sister said or whatever, you know, kids at school, if I don't unprogram those things and approve of myself no matter what, which was in one of those affirmations that we'll talk about, if I don't unwind that, then I'm not going to be open to receive. So last week it was a lot about criticism of self. And do I perceive that I owe you something? And also criticism of other. But today it gets into really not just the observation of some dynamic, but the actual flow between people. Does all of this make sense to you, given kind of how you know yourself and what you experienced this week? Are there any questions about this so far?
You might get into this later. This is Adrian. But what you're talking about in terms of the things that you kind of experience in your childhood and how that mm-hmm. affects you later in life, when you are continuing, you know, a relationship with a parent who mm-hmm. I would say is not as spiritually enlightened and likely mm-hmm. never will be,
right.
Can you speak to how to kind of cope with, you know, the continuous sort of exposure to that?
Yeah.
Food
yeah.
And how to kind of, you know, not let it sort of muddle your own waters?
Yeah, of course. And that's the key, because we're not all often served by severing those relationships. You know, it's not, I mean, it seems like it might be an easier thing. But Adrian, like, for example, I know you have kids, so you're talking about one of your parents. You don't want to, you know, split your family like that, and you don't want to make sure your kids don't know your parents. So I understand that it gets more complex, but essentially,
I want to have a different relationship with my parents,
sure,
and have it, you know, understand her better, understand them better, and at the same time, you know, have that sort of attitude that she is also a divine being and searching her way through this life, but knowing that she'll never probably reach a level of, like you said, sophistication where a lot of this stuff will ever resonate for her.
Well, so you take care of yourself, validate yourself, approve of yourself, and if that means something like, for the next month, I can't really interact with her because I have to focus on, or whatever it is, right? I have to focus on getting myself square with this. And all that time, looking at her as a divine being, and not just saying, well, I mean, yeah, she's a divine being, but sitting down 10 minutes meditation, and 3 of those minutes are holding her face in your mind and observing, like saying to her in your mind, I know you're a face of the divine. I'm challenged by you, but I'm not going to take this on, and I'm going to have a better relationship with you. So, you know, when we talk about relationships between people, they shift when one person shifts. So whatever it is that you believe about why she is the way she is, you shift that, and she may not catch up to you 100%, but that will shift, that dynamic, and she will shift.
Okay.
Because, like, I hold an expectation of you.
Right.
And you hold an expectation of me, and that is how our relationship continues. And as soon as I stop expecting something of you, or I stop holding you to some grudge or whatever it was, some old thing, or I erase my bias about people with blue hair or whatever it is, our dynamic shifts because you can't maintain the same stance because your stance before was a response to me. So, like, forgive, you know, if you haven't already, forgive her for everything you've experienced with her, every single painful thing or miscommunication or confusing thing. Go back and rewrite the history of why it happened. It happened because you're both trying to figure out, like, you know, where to get love and how to be loving. So rewrite that history, but take care of yourself, validate yourself, and view her as a divine being constantly. And when the toxic thing comes out of her mouth or whatever it is, I don't know what the real thing is for you, but whenever that thing comes up, you remember what's happening, which is that you're moving at different rates or in different directions, and your family and your teachers for each other, and you can accept what she perceives her limitations are or what you observe her limitations are. So it's an ongoing process because we are triggered emotionally by all these things.
Right.
Yeah, and over a course of months it gets much easier. But in the short term it might be, you know, it might be really, really hard, but over the course of months you train yourself to see her differently and respond to her differently. And always validating yourself, because that's part of the thing with parents, is that even if they had all the wonderful intentions and they read all these books and watched Oprah or whatever about how to raise kids, I don't know. But, like, what, even if they did that, there's still going to be some things that we couldn't get from them because our souls being in cahoots together, is that we have to give ourselves something that our parents can't give us. Yeah, because we have to become the source of love. That's the point. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was helpful. Thank you.
Good. You're welcome. And it's applicable to everybody who's got, you know, some relationship with somebody who's moving in a different speed or a different direction. I mean, because if, you know, like I said, sometimes when it gets that stressful and part of us doesn't want to be open to something that's so difficult, it looks like we shouldn't be around the person or we just can't deal with that person. But that, again, we signed up to be in this incubator together for a reason. And even long-term friends in adulthood that are kind of like family or feel like family, that's the same kind of thing. And we just have to observe each other and respect our own boundaries, but validate ourselves and always make sure that we're not trying to get from that other person what we should be giving to ourselves. Okay, so let's go to the charts, and we're going to start at the back, which I think was Sylvia's suggestion. So we're going to start just because it was weighted last week towards the beginning. So I'm trying to get there.